Bird flu takes off.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. China has confirmed 3 fresh outbreaks of bird flu among poultry. That brings the total number of outbreaks of the deadly disease among birds to 24 this year. China has the world's largest poultry industry, and Chinese officials have called the crisis severe. Meanwhile, Hong Kong, which gets most of its food from mainland China, today barred the imports of poultry from another 2 regions. Ruth Kirchner reports from Beijing.
State media say sales of chicken have plummeted across China as worried consumers shun the meat. The Ministry of Agriculture says more than 140,000 birds have died of the disease this year, prompting the culling of more than 21 million more in the affected areas. Andy Rothman of the investment company CLSA in Shanghai has studied the economic impact of the crisis.
I don't think this represents a macroeconomic threat, in part because poultry only represents about 3% of GDP, less than a quarter of 1% of China's exports. The bigger issue is going to be the impact on the 50 million small farmers who raise birds in China.
Rothman says affected farmers should get compensation from the central government, but he says it's unclear how much of that money will end up in the pockets of corrupt local officials. In Beijing, I'm Ruth Kirchner for Marketplace.
The Greenspan era is coming to an end, and so may the rate hikes. The Federal Reserve hinted at a meeting Tuesday that the long series of interest rate hikes could soon be over. Industry analysts said the meeting minutes showed Fed officials felt they were coming up on a so-called neutral rate, one that keeps inflation at bay but doesn't curtail economic growth. The Fed has raised interest rates 12 times since June 2004. The newest internet headache is a warning that appears to come from the FBI. The email even lists the Bureau's real address and phone number, but it's really just a disguise for computer worms. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
The latest scam sends out messages purportedly from the FBI. It warns that your internet address has been linked to more than 30 illegal websites. But click on the attachment and a virus attacks your email system.
It doesn't shut your computer down. It doesn't really steal any information. It's more of a pest.
That's Donna Gregory with the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center. She says other spam generated by seemingly trustworthy organizations cons people out of money or financial information. To protect yourself, Gregory advises scan your computer for viruses regularly and never click on an internet link. Instead, type out the full address or risk being redirected to a fraudulent website. To educate consumers, the feds have set up an internet fraud clearinghouse. The website is easy to remember, lookstoogoodtobetrue.com. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Another record has been set in the sale of a big board seat, $3.5 million. Seat prices on the exchange have tripled this year, buoyed by the exchange's pending acquisition of electronic trading firm Archipelago. Under the terms of the deal, each seat holder will get more than 80,000 shares of the combined company. On Wall Street, the Dow closed up 51 points Tuesday to 10,871. The Nasdaq closed up, and so did the S&P. This is Marketplace. I hope you're not one of those people who has to travel today. This is expected to be a record Thanksgiving travel weekend. And as Gretchen Cook reports, people will be staying away longer.
AAA estimates about 30 million Americans will take to the roads this week. That's actually a slight rise from 2004, when gas was about 10% cheaper. Air travel will be about the same domestically, but internationally it's expected to go up 5%. The Air Transport Association's David Castlevader says that's prompting more people to take the whole week off instead of just the traditional 5-day Thanksgiving break.
We see people over the holidays now taking cruises and actually taking vacations instead of just spending Thanksgiving with the kin.
Castlevader says thanks to good deals on fall airfares, about 21 million people will travel globally on U.S. airlines this week. In Washington, I'm Gretchen Cook for Marketplace.
And you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with national patient associations to educate and support patients and their families. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at Medtronic.com. And by The Economist. The weekly publication of international news with commentary and analysis on world politics, business and finance, technology and the arts, on newsstands and at economist.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Lisa Napoli. The public may be growing impatient with the war in Iraq, but ending it sooner rather than later may boil down to simple economics. In this edition of The Public's Business, commentator Robert Reich explains why it's all about the job market.
We call it an all-volunteer army, but the job of soldiering is voluntary the same way any paid job is voluntary. You're not forced to do it, you're paid to do it. Since Richard Nixon ended the draft in 1973, most of the people who join the military do so because it's the most attractive job available to them. Some are motivated by patriotism, of course, but let's not kid ourselves. People facing a choice between a job in the private sector that's near home and safe and one in the military that's thousands of miles away and may not be safe will choose to remain civilians unless the military pays more. And for any given age and level of education, it does. When the economy's expanding and private sector jobs are becoming more plentiful, as they are now, the Pentagon has to pay even more to attract additional recruits. That's why the latest defense appropriations raises military pay 3.1% every year for the next five, considerably faster than civilian pay is expected to rise. The military is also offering signing bonuses, up to $30,000 for jobs in high demand, up to $150,000 for re-enlisting if you're with the special forces, plus up to $50,000 to offset the costs of higher education and $65,000 to pay back college loans, and generous housing, child care, and health benefits. But apparently it's still not enough. According to a report just out from the General Accountability Office, the Pentagon is falling far behind its targets for recruiting and re-enlisting soldiers for vital combat positions, including as few as a third of the Special Force soldiers and intelligence specialists it aimed for last year. All told, the military has failed to fully staff over 40% of its combat and non-combat specialties. Why? According to military experts, the war in Iraq and Afghanistan is scaring many potential recruits away. Even though only a portion of our 1.4 million active duty personnel serve in a war zone or hardship area, the job of soldier seems far more dangerous these days. Which means, if we want more people to sign up, we've got to pay them even more. But try to pay them much more, and we run into an obstacle called the federal budget deficit, which is already out of control. Congress and the White House are trying to put a cap on military spending, not increase it. In other words, America's venture into Iraq may come to an end, not because the American public has lost faith in it, but because we can't pay enough Americans enough money to continue to fight it.
You can read more of Robert Reich's commentaries and essays at robertreich.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
Retailers call.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.